Welcome to Cloudlandia,
Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Jackson, and I was fully
welcome to Cloudlandia. So how are things in the beaches outpost of Cloudlandia?
Oh, great. We're having a late fall, so we haven't really turned to our wonderful gold and red leaves yet.
Yeah.
Still pretty green. It's one of the later ones up north where we were at our cottage that was all bit done and finished with 2 weeks ago, but here it's hasn't really set in yet. We got a lot of rain, and I'm told that when you have a very rainy summer, oftentimes the leaves take a while to turn in the fall, but things are good. And city's booming, cranes everywhere, big holes in the ground everywhere, and it's a city that keeps going.
Go up, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Yeah, we are right now. I'm out in my courtyard, and it is perfect courtyard mm-hmm. weather right now. The temperature, mm-hmm. like even in the middle of the day now, it's absolutely gorgeous because mm-hmm. it's undercover, and I just love having being out in the fresh air, and it's quiet, and it's a great environment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of good thinking right here.
Yeah, and I just introduced this thought about a week ago, and I've really moved it forward this week that we would now create a optional program for those who are interested in strategic coach. This is above and beyond the mm-hmm. normal thing, and it would be on the lifetime extender
yes.
concept. And I was given a great deal of confidence by my trip with Babs, guests of Peter Diamandis, to have inside knowledge on about 30 scientific experiments in mm-hmm. the Boston and New York area in August, all dealing with some aspect, solving disease, rejuvenating cells, reactivating neurons in your brain. And I was thinking during that trip, and also in the weeks coming back here until just a week ago, that the time has come now to take that very first concept in strategic coach, which is the lifetime extender, and to put some outside practical muscle into it. And in terms of places where people can go and get tested and have undergo various types of therapies and add supplements to their mm-hmm. diet. And it's possible now to truly start decreasing your age rather than increasing your age. And I put this out as a possibility. And I have a sense that when we put the dates out there, which will be next week, we're just working through a 6-date calendar. So my mm-hmm. thought is we would start, and in a year's time, we would have 6 of these meetings, 4 mm-hmm. hours each. It'll all be Zoom. It'll be in Cloudlandia. Mm-hmm. And the moment we have that, we're up and running. And we already have 40 individuals who have sent us their name and said, as soon as you say go, we're in.
Oh, that's great. Wow. And that, so it would be 6 meetings over the course of a year in...
Yeah. And I think it would start early in April and then go around into 2023. It's not about medicine. It's not about technology. It's not about science. It's about you're thinking about your thinking of if these things are all available and from outside tenders, and you could take advantage of them and noticeably make yourself younger and fitter. How long would you want to live then?
Oh, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a thinking. It's really interesting because immediately we have a lot of clients in the program, and a lot of them, they're in the tree zone program. And mm-hmm. they said, well, we can do this and we can do this and we can create a fund. We can create. And I said, no.
Yeah, right.
Just think. This is just thinking next.
Yeah, we just want to think about this it.
This won't be any different. This won't be any different than any moment of strategic coach that you've ever been in your life. It's about thinking, and then sharing your thinking with others so that you can think even better. So
yeah, I love it, Dan. I mean, it's so great to see these thoughts coming up to reality here. And you think about all the, tapping into the, you're creating this desire in that you're the one introducing the idea of the lifetime extender. And yet there's a whole, the trend is really catching up with that thinking. I mean, now it's become, it's a real thing. And it just makes sense to have a strategic coach related offering for that. It makes all the sense in the world. Yeah. I like it. And there's a sense.
And I just very likely tested it out with some two or three of the 10 times, the 10 times groups. And I just said, this is a possibility. I think it has some real things going for it, but there's some things I'm not certain yet. And immediately there was an unusual amount of response that said, I'd like to be involved in this. I'd like to contribute this.
Yeah.
And then I took it a layer higher and I bounced it off the free zone group Tuesday.
Yeah, which was there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now, it was the enthusiasm and the level of motivation and commitment was 10 times higher. So then on Wednesday, Babs had me in the weekly EOS team meeting. These are the top people who are, implementing the entrepreneurial operating system that Gino Wickman created.
Yes.
So we did that. So I came in and I created a new version. So I updated my presentation paper three times over the course of about 6 days. And went around and everybody said they just wanted to know that, I said, first of all, you're going to have to look at the schedule. I said, I'm busy and you're going to have to fit it in. And, could we do that? And they said, our head scheduler, who's kind of like, a six-dimensional chess player. She's
right. Exactly. Holy cow. So many pieces. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she can figure out schedules for a whole year ahead. Then she came back to me and she said, yeah, it's a go. She said, there's no problem with it. She said, the fact that it's going to be 4 hours and not 6 hours makes it easier. The fact that it's Zoom makes it really easier. And she said, if you do it every 2 months, that makes it easier. And we do that with our global virtual, the new program. In the signature level, the first level of the program, we do that and we introduce that and it's gone well. We have 600 new clients from all over the world, but they don't travel and they will never travel unless they say, would it be okay if I made a visit to London or Toronto or Chicago or Los Angeles just to get the feel of what it's like. But we said, sure, just let us know. But the big thing is that it's just considered virtual. So it's on the basis of the fact that program has been a year in operation and it's been really quite extraordinarily successful and very enthusiastic thing. So I said, well, we'll try it out with this new one. Yeah. So anyway, and we're making it available to anybody who's in the program. So even if you just signed up, and you just did your first workshop ever, you're eligible for this other program. And if you're 30 years into the program, into coach, you're eligible. And if you live in Celebration, Florida, you're eligible. And if you live in Da Nang, Vietnam, you're eligible.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. How long has it been since you first introduced the concept of the lifetime extender? What was the
1993. Yeah.
Fall of
1993. I remember when I did it. Yeah, but well, you know, I mean, it was a thinking exercise, you know, and it has immediate usefulness with thinking exercise. But all along, people would say, well, where do I go for the best, you know, testing so I can see what my baseline is so that I can prove? And I was never in a position where I was very confident about that, you know. And I said, well, I can only tell you what we've done. Some of it's been great, some of it not so great. But you didn't have a immediate go here, they'll do the testing for you, they're really great, and everything else. And that's all come into existence in the last 3 or 4 years. So that's the, it's Zoom. You and I were doing Zoom, you know, for 4 years, but the problem was there wasn't anybody at the other end that you could turn this into a major, you know.
Yeah.
I guess Alexander Graham Bell found out when he created his first phone that you actually needed two phones.
Yes, exactly. That's true. Same with the fax machine, all of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What? Mm-hmm. That's. Could you imagine, you know, 1993? What was cutting edge in the longevity arena back then? I mean, when you think about now, we hadn't even decoded the genome then.
No.
It wasn't even on the radar. Nothing. We were fairly not too far away from leeching. That's the cutting edge of stuff. But, you know, you look at it now and you didn't even have any sense of telomeres and all that genomics. And
You know, I mean, there was, basic stuff that had come over from athletics and sports, you know, and how you keep yourself fit. And, you know, and there was some work in the diet area. There was definitely area in therapy areas like, you know, massage of all different kinds, stretching. There was a big thing, but it was using, you know, it was using things that were available in integrated ways and like that. And, you know, but nothing revolutionary, nothing. And then all of a sudden, I think the, you know, it's always a stack of things that happen at one time that create the breakthrough. And quite frankly, the internet was the thing that, you know, really expanded it, because things which were known only to a few people could be now known to many.
Yeah, no, yes, right.
That's what the internet did. And the other thing was there was a huge growth in various tools and electronic remedies. You know, for example, there's like body suits that you can wear now that they have muscle pulsers in, you know, that will, you could put the body suit on and go about doing exercise and all while it's doing, it's pulsating various muscle groups, you know, and fibers. Different areas. And that started to happen. And then Bluetooth made it easier. And you know, so it's a steady growth. But I think from my standpoint, it was the gene mapping itself, which started. I can remember 10 years ago, it was Craig Venter who was the first person who, you know, was credited with the breakthrough. But it was like $500 million of research. The part of the government and corporations and everything. And finally, they got one person's gene map. And the cost of this first gene map is just a nifty $500 million. Well, Babs and I had it done 4 years ago for the second
time. 5,000. Yeah.
Actually, it was about 1,000. Actually,
first time.
Now it's about 300. Yeah. Now it's about $300. Yeah. That becomes a big thing, and then there's genome testing, biome testing, which is becoming very important to your gut bacteria, and that has about 70% of your immune system Healthiness is really determined by these gut bacteria, which have not played a part in thinking. And now there's all sorts of treatments for this and all sorts of things, new things that you can add to your diet. And that
I remember I went to the first Abundance 360 I went to, I was sitting beside Gary Kaplan, you know, Gary, Dr. Kaplan. And we were talking about these fecal transplants, and that was all becoming, this was probably in 2014, I think. He was saying at the time, he had the best statement about it ever. He said, what's coming down the pike right now in 10, 15 years is going to make it seem like we've been throwing rocks at people to make them healthy. And I thought, man, that's just really something. I mean, you'd never even thought about the idea of a fecal transplant, but that's essentially what you're transplanting new fecal, you know, biome stuff that's going to balance your gut health. And so much of it, just like you said, that's what really is so determinant of things. You had a really interesting thought, because with the genome, with getting all these, this access to reading your things, one of the things that people are fearful of is, oh, I'm going to find out something that I've got a problem. And people, I wouldn't want to know that kind of stuff. And you had the greatest insight on that. You said, well, you're going to find out. You're going to find out at some point. And would you rather find out when it's early enough to do something about it, or find out when it's too late to do something about it, you know? But just what a practical, insightful, well, you are going to find out, you know?
Yes, I don't want to know how far behind I am in my taxes. I guarantee that you don't have to worry about this, because somebody's going to do all the accounting for you and give you a phone call.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to find out.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Jackson, you've been a very bad boy. Can we come back and talk?
That's so funny.
We want to put you on the right path of being up to date with your taxes. Yeah, I think it's just, you know what it is, Dean, and just a few insights I've had being on the trip with Peter Diamandis, and I thought it was the best 5-day intensive learning experience of my life. I mean, I really got some context for understanding this. Just a few things. One is that there's a lot of different people working on a lot of different things, but what's emerging is an overall consensus on the part of all the scientists that we had as presenters to us, that there's just one disease now, and that disease is called aging, and it just shows up in different ways. It might show up as cancer. It might show up as, you know, it might show up as a viral disease. It might show up as a heart disease. It might show up as cognitive decline, you know, but it's all the body declining, and aging is just the body declining. And therefore, anything you can do in any area to improve the body, if you improve it in one area of your body, it'll reinforce other parts of your body. So it's much more holistic now. The other thing is a general understanding that up until now, we have not ever had a healthcare system. We've had a disease management system. Okay. And, you know, if you have a really profitable disease, you're not really working hard for the cure.
Yeah, that's true. It is true, isn't it? It's like, yeah, it's one of those funny things. There was a great, my friend Dick, one of his nephews is this guy, Bo Burnham, who's a comedian, a musical comedian. And he has a song called Love Is. And he sings all these things that are like, ironically, what love is. And one of them is, he says, love is like being the owner of the company that makes rape whistles. And he said, even though when you started the company, your intention was good, trying to reduce the rate of rape. Now you don't want to reduce it at all, because if you reduce the rate of rape, they'll be equal to
nobody will buy the whistles.
Without rapists, who's going to buy your whistles?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my goodness, that's just so like on point, you know. But that's the same thing without cancer. Who's going to buy your? Who's going to buy your drug?
The other big models. So I've talked about that. You know, there's just one. There's just one disease. The other thing is that we haven't had a healthcare system. We've had a disease management system.
Yeah.
The third one is that the breakthroughs all seem to be in the level of getting the body itself to heal itself. In other words, that you're introducing ways of suddenly awakening and strengthening natural capabilities that the body has to heal itself. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, brings right up to the point that immediately there are less pharmaceuticals needed from the outside to do things. Okay, so, and there again, you can see, well, a lot of people are making a lot of money, this problem not being solved. And they don't want, and they won't come out, nobody would, you know, we've got very powerful drug here that does this, but drug just holds things still. It doesn't actually make things better.
You know? Right.
A lot of it's, you know, painkilling. You know, the condition might not get worse, but it doesn't get better. So there's huge money that's at stake here, and so these things will be fought. You know, that'll be fought.
Even at every level. I mean, you know, I know, you know, Chip Mock, the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
The wound care. It's all about maintaining the wound status quo, not healing it. And so there's resistance at every level.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to understand that if people have gotten used to making money just to keep things okay, then when something that comes through that's really a breakthrough that doesn't require that old okay approach, okay, the jobs that go with it and organizations that go with it, there's a natural resistance to that. And the fourth thing is that the fundamental breakthrough is actually because of artificial intelligence. So what I was told by people I talked to personally on the trip is that 3 years ago, they could do a test in their labs, you know, and let's say it would take 48 hours. And now they can do 10,000 tests, different tests, as the old one test, and they can do that in 48 hours. So 10,000 times greater productivity and get tests.
Right.
And each of those tests would be different. So they would be doing 10,000 different tests. You know, and that has been the fundamental breakthrough. And it explains how, you know, when the COVID first emerged in early 2020 and, you know, government scientists were talking and they said, you know, and they were saying how quickly now with this new enemy that we have, this new viral enemy, how long will it take to get the vaccines for it? And, you know, the estimates were 2 years, 2.5, 3 years, we would get the thing. But they were there in 6 months. You know, They were there in 6 months, and people were using them within nine months. So anyway, and I think it's because of the testing that what the scientists were going on is the old ways things could be done, the very slow testing, painstaking, but they hadn't factored in the new testing speed. So I think this is it, you know, that, and this is all emerging, you know, practical use. Our strategic coach clients, It's all elective. If you want this stuff, you have to write the check. There's no insurance. Mm-hmm. There's no insurance to pay for it. But all of our clients can, you know, if they have the motivation, they automatically have the means.
Yeah, and what's the breakdown now of on a percentage basis of the Strategic Coach membership in terms of the signature program 10 times and free zone?
Right now, I think I saw the numbers at the beginning of September. We were like 1,700 signature, 450 10 times, and 50 in the free zone. So
right,
about 2,200. And then we had taken a drop from, we lost in total numbers probably about 300 or 400 during
right.
the COVID slowdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but you know what's really interesting about that, Dean, is that what we've created is this little invitation thing that if you're in the signature program and you have put a year in, you've learned basic time skills, you know, largest
yeah.
check, and everything like that, and you would just like to come and spend a couple hours in the environment of a 10 times program a year. Just mm-hmm. let us know and you can come in. And a lot of people are doing it. So I'm getting, with just my 10 times calls, I'm getting 3 and 4 for every meeting. Mm-hmm. And I would say 2 out of 3 of them within about a 6-month period will jump to the next level.
Right.
What's noticing is that the ones who are jumping the fastest are the ones who have been in the signature program the least.
Uh-huh.
You know? So if you have somebody who's been in the signature program for 10 years and that they come in and they, you know, they participate in everything else, but somebody has just completed their fourth workshop in the signature program and they come in and they say, I want to join this group. And what
right.
I notice is that they're at a very much higher level in their entrepreneurial success uh-huh. than the long-term signature program. They're coming in
yeah.
and, yeah, I've got one from Pakistan that I've spoken about, and he did 4, jumped into 10 times, and he's already doing the type of collaboration that would put him in the free zone program. He said, I'll do 4. He said, I'll do my 4 10 times programs, but, you know, you can expect me as soon as I qualify to jump to the free zone. Yeah. So attracting a much more successful, more talented, and much more motivated, much more ambitious clients coming into the first program now, especially through the digital program.
You know, mm-hmm, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, life goes on.
It sure does. I had an interesting week this week. I mentioned I've been really paying attention to the digital demand on our, just the gravitational pull to Cloudlandia and to being the dopamine, you know, gravity. And mm-hmm. I was really paying attention to that this week and making lots of efforts to observe and reduce my dopamine drip, digital dopamine drip.
This was partially from reading Your Attention, Your Property.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I realize that's really the big thing, is the demands on my brain, attention, that's really the prize jewel, is my attention has been just, there's a gravity on it now that when you're attached to the iPhone, when I'm attached to that dopamine drip, that there's a lot of, you know, pull on that. And I've noticed how I look at what triggers often me looking at things. I've started when I'm looking to focus now to leave my phone in the house, and sit out in the courtyard here. But I wonder what time it is. And I would look at the clock, and then you see there's a notification, and you check that, and you're automatically into that drip, you know? So I've started like guarding and creating an environment that sustainably allows me to stay hooked into my own vibe, you know? So I never really wore my watch, you know, as much. So I started wearing my watch, which is analog, and I'll sit there. And that way I know what time it is without having to look at my watch or my phone to see that. I've got a timer out here that I use separate from my phone, because I do love the 50-minute focus finder. So I do that, and I know I've got a visual of it. So I see what's happening there. I've been doing a lot more silence, like when I'm driving to places now, I'll have nothing, like no podcast, no other outlet.
Music. No music.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing how active I'm able now to hook into my own mind and, you know, the beautiful freedom and thoughts that go on when I've got that kind of space.
Yeah, I was not thinking that. And last night, Shannon Waller from Bruce Green has, there's, you know, on the beach here at the beaches, there's several buildings which, through leases, would be and turn into restaurants. And there's one, it's, you know, it's up near Coxwell. It's, I think it's Coxwell up and down. They've gone through six different forms in the 20 years, 25 years. And there's now, they've kind of turned it into what they're trying to present as a very high-class restaurant. And I don't know if they've succeeded except the prices. The prices are very high-class prices.
Okay,
And I hadn't, you know, we have a favorite restaurant here in the beaches, which is a neighborhood, but it's French. You know, the owner is French. And, you know, it's good food. It's very predictable food, but it's just a very comfortable kind of neighborhood restaurant. And but this one last night, but it was really a city Bay Street, you know, Bay Street area type of hotel. Restaurant and everything else. It has all the menu pretensions and the waitress pretensions.
Oh boy.
Being that, but it wasn't really very good. You know, I think my favorite since I've been in Toronto ever chef who created restaurants was Suzer Lee.
And yes.
Still there. He has Suzer's open. He's kind of been pricey. Okay. So anyway, but it was just the overwhelming heartbeat music noise that was coming through constantly. The whole restaurant had to shout to be heard. And there's a science to this, you know, that it'll hurry people up. So they all free their tables up so you can do another shift.
Another turn.
Everything like that. Uh-huh. And I was saying I've been away from this, you know, I mean, I probably had, you know, adjusted myself to that type of experience, but I've been away from it for a year and a half. And I was just noticing how invaluable that experience was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, it's really, I think food has changed so much right now in terms of, I just look at our habits and there's, you know, I mean, between DoorDash and Uber Eats and Grubhub, there's, you know, it's really, and Instacart with our grocery things, there's food is all on demand now here.
Yeah.
That's really the, that's really the way. Do you still get, does the caterer do your meals and stuff now that you're not doing the things So what's your situation there?
No, I mean, he always has since we started using him at the office, and he's got a kitchen of his own, you know, that he does this. And, you know, it's been tough for him. He's had a tough year and a half because we, you know, I mean, just coach in Toronto, we had like 12,500 meals a year for him that he could cater. And, you know, and it was regular, you know, I mean, really good catering is really the best way to go if you're in the food service business, you know,
because,
you know, you don't have, you're doing it in someone else's premises and they have their own serving staff and, you know, things will be cleaned up by their staff and everything like that. You know, it's very predictable. You can put it in a year ahead, you know, when the dates are and you can order to food and, you know, I mean, it's just, having your own restaurant is about 10 times more complicated, you know. Having just a kitchen where you just deliver food and it's our, you know, it's all our servingware, it's our silverware, it's our dishwashers and everything like that, you know. So it's good. And, you know, over the years, we've worked out really good menus and, you know, favorites that people like. And, but then since he was doing that, he would just drop food off for us. You know, that simply had to be warmed up when we went home, or we could just grab stuff that was left over from lunch and take that home. So, you know, but we just continued on when we said, you know, we're going to be here and we want our meal. So you don't have to deliver every day. You can deliver two or three days at a time. And we've done it. Yeah. So now we'd continue down with that.
That's great. I like that. That's a good.
And he's got really good food. He's got really good suppliers. You know, good meats. Good. His fish is great. You know, vegetables are great. Everything's nice and fresh. And so it was good. And but what I've noticed is that things have gone cash because of COVID. And this restaurant last night was demanding a little more formality than I was willing to put out, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. People were not, I think that might be over, you know. It's a really, because I don't think the generations coming behind us are interested in the formalities.
Well, the other thing, Dean, I think that status society, which was the rule when I came to Toronto 50 years ago, you know, there was an establishment in Toronto and, you know, and everybody dressed up and everywhere you saw people were dressed up. And there was sort of like a social establishment. There was an economic establishment. There was a corporate establishment. But most of it was corporate, the big institutional corporate, you know. There was no entrepreneurial society.
Right. That's what it is, definitely now.
And it was old, well-established technology that the economy was using, you know, and everything like that. And it was, I remember walking Bay Street, Bay and Charles Street. There was a restaurant right on the corner there. It was called La Scala. I don't know if it was still there when you were, you know, in the 80s or anything. And La Scala was one of the power restaurants in the city of Toronto. Another one was Winston's, was down on Adelaide Street. And Winston's was the Bay Street power restaurant. And La Scala was the political power restaurant. So I walked by one night and there were six limousines parked out, black limousines, each having a driver standing by the door in uniform. And I just, you know, I walked up and I said, what's this for? What's all that? He says, oh, the premier is here with his cabinet ministers.
Oh, okay. And
can you imagine in 2021, this being seen on the streets anywhere, and, you know, the government leaders you know, who are all dressed up in suits and that, and they have chauffeur drivers. And these weren't Chevys. These were, you know.
Right.
Yeah, these were Lincolns. They were Lincoln, Lincoln Town Cars or whatever the version was. Or they were Cadillacs.
Yeah, what year was that? Wait.
This would be 70, probably 72. Yes.
Yeah, well, that's 72. Interesting. The way you're describing, that was when there was an elegance and a thing about, you know, being a politician, being revered kind of thing, right? It was way before the, I mean, it's like now the, just the baseline respect for politicians is removed,
down.
I think.
It's down.
Down, let's say,
I would say it's right.
I mean, they chant about them at football games and stuff, but that's...
Yeah. They do, which shows their fondness for the person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I was just so struck by it, you know, reflecting back. So this is nearly 50 years ago for me. If any group of politicians got photographed or videoed today doing that with the most expensive restaurant, it would be embarrassing to them.
They'd be canceled. It would be outrage.
Yeah, they'd be
right?
canceled. They'd be canceled. Yeah. By it. Yeah.
Fat Cat's Feast on taxpayer dollars.
Yeah.
That'd be the big headline, right? That's it.
Yeah. And this is another market factor in favor of your ghost kitchens.
Yes. Anonymous.
Yeah.
It's another strong everything looking up on the ghost restaurant, ghost kitchen front. Virtual dining is thriving. Everything about it is up. And I think that with it are going to come options. I think it's going to come back around to where they'll actually be really healthy options. I think it's going to be easier to, I think doctors and influencers will be able to prescribe healthy menus, you know, that somebody could prepare and deliver. Nobody's done it yet, but I think that, you know, somebody I was suggesting, you know, somebody like JJ Virgin or somebody, you know, somebody in the mainstream could really get out in front of that and lead somebody with those, the big flaws. Imagine if you could have JJ cooking your menu, you know, having JJ approved things. That would be, I don't think we're that far away from that, you know?
Well, I think the big thing, again, is that there's nobody who's going to dominate this because it's the barriers to entry are so low.
Right.
You know, the barriers, if you have a favorite restaurant, and then switched over that restaurant that you like so much could be in your home, and they'll bring it to you. Yeah. You know, every favorite restaurant would have its own exclusive marketplace, you know, that just got delivered. And that's how Charlie Trotter was a breakthrough revolutionary chef in the 1990s in Chicago. Uh-huh. And he never even went to cooking school. He just had a knack for putting together great catering food. And he had a catering company while he was going through university, and he developed such a loyal and enthusiastic expanding client base at a certain point he said, you know, it's just a natural that I'm going to create a restaurant. And you know, he filled it up right away with people who he had been feeding for 2 or 3 years anyway, you know. And then he's the one who he's the pioneer with tasting menus, you know, where you go to the restaurant and there's two different versions of a tasting menu, and that's 1970. I went to Charlie Trotter's 1993, and it was $140, and wine was extra. You would pair up wine with 7 different courses, and it was all delivered to you by very intelligent and very informed waiters who would tell you everything that you were eating, and, you know, and then there was a vegetarian version of it, you know.
Yeah.
Everything else.
Well, you remember our the Marché was one of my favorite places in Toronto. That just that walk around your passport, but now it's like you've got that Marché and they'll bring it to you.
Gone for good as a restaurant. You know,
it is gone.
Oh yeah, completely. Yeah, they're all gone.
Wow,
they had 3 of them and they're shut down. Yeah,
that's a shame.
Shut. Yeah. They started off as Mövenpick originally.
Yeah, right.
Mövenpick, and then they became Marché. Now they're gone. Yeah. So, you know, but it's interesting that, and I think the shift is that the people who are ordering from ghost kitchens are also the people who have connected their home to a worldwide global marketplace through digital business.
Yes.
Yeah,
well, they're participating.
I think you do a matchup. The people who are actually ordering from home are also making the money from home to pay for the home delivery.
I get it. 100%.
Yeah.
They're citizens of Cloudlandia.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And it's, but I'm just noticing my own responses to it, you know. Like, I might have been a bit miffed 2 years ago at the experience last night, but I was just saying, oh, this will never happen to me again. I'll never do this again, you know.
And, you don't need to do that. Yeah, exactly.
No, I said, this is a bygone age. They're trying to present us with something that might have been interesting in a bygone age, and it's just not interesting to me anymore.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, I went to lunch at 1, you know, there in the Hazelton Hotel.
Yes.
The day before at lunch. It was great. It was great.
You know, that may have to be our new place. If
it was very prompt. Yeah. It was very prompt. It was very, you know, very efficient and everything else. And, you know, I
how
had to bring
like
my. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. How did you like the redesign? They've redone the whole hotel. Did you notice that or no?
I wasn't in the other part of the hotel, so I just went in, you know, right where the restaurant is. The thing is that they have this very stylish outside canopies, you know, so overheated. And, you know, my suspicion is they'll be able to go through the winter with it. And then, you know, I had to check, you know, you have to show them your vaccination proof before you get in.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. No, this is Ontario. You know, this is a country based on peace, order, and good government, Dean. This is not life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Nothing like that. This is, you know, so, you know, you have to show them your vaccination paper. And I said, to the guest that I was staying with, I said, they said that I'm a member in good standing of the Communist Party, and that I don't have any close relatives in the Gulag, being tortured and executed in the Gulag, so I can have lunch with you.
Oh my goodness! Wow.
Yeah. It was a nice experience and everything like that. You know, but they're, you know, the prices may be a little bit more than they were, but the service was crisp, nice menu, you know, very efficient service and everything like that. So, you know.
I miss it. I do miss Toronto. This is the second year in a row.
We'll do one because it's so convenient. I mean, when you come up at your convenience, when you come up, one is really good, you know.
I love it. They've got great room service too. That's one of the things.
I had Wagyu sliders.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I can taste them now.
Yeah. Wagyu sliders. That was perfect.
Yeah. They have a great, McEwen is the executive chef there.
Was.
Oh, he was. Okay, he's got a new one.
He went. He went bankrupt. All his restaurants went bankrupt.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy who ran Buca, you know, Buca was another one. He had about 13 restaurants. He went bankrupt. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
He was in the program. Okay. He was in the program, actually. He was his first year of coach. Yeah.
Wow.
So I think that whole thing, stars, you know, restaurant stars, you know, celebrity chefs and everything else, I think that's going to be dimmed down because there isn't an audience there sufficiently to appreciate it.
Right. I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. And it's going to come the other way. It's going to be the big, you know, there's not going to be these regional only available here kind of things.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting to be, I mean, it's just interesting to be an observer when a big shift is happening. But I would say in your case, in my case, both, we haven't had to shift very much.
No, it's been shifting in towards our preference, you know?
Yeah.
Certainly
we've been
for
shifting.
Me.
Yeah, we've been shifting continually. It's better to make 100 comfortable shifts than one.
Dan, I had a good insight this week. I was introduced to an assessment called Working Genius. Have you seen this one?
No, is it good?
It's wonderful. Like it's
working.
It's
can I punch those words into Google and it'll give me working.
Yeah, workinggenius.com.
Oh, I'm on it.
And I'll tell you what. So who introduced me to it is James Drage, who you know.
Oh, yeah.
So what's unique about this is it's specifically for team building in terms of like the ideal, you need almost like the way it's illustrated is the gears in a team have 6 letters that spell widget. And the idea is that each one of these gears has to be covered, right? Somebody has a unique genius for these 6 things. And so my unique genius is for discernment, meaning intuitively knowing what the right thing to do, what has the best chance of being successful kind of thing, seeing what needs to be done, and invention, creating something to meet that goal, which feels exactly right on for what I do, right? Creating that scale-ready algorithm. But then there's other things like that would be sort of tied to follow through and implementing. Yeah, where there's one genius called tenacity, which is the strength of taking something all the way to completion, like making sure driving something till it's done, and enablement, which is building and organizing the team, the people who are enrolled in this to get them all moving synchronously in the same direction, and galvanizing is another strength, which those things are all like, I don't have any of that in me, you know, but to know that, you know, if you're on a team where all of those bases are covered, like that's a really winning formula.
Yeah.
Very insightful. I loved it. I just did it 2 days ago. So
you just fill it in, pop your credit card in, and you get the report back, right?
10 minutes. That's exactly right.
Right. Good. I'm doing it this afternoon.
Perfect. Please forward, because I'd love to see how forward you mind.
Yeah, Shannon Waller is our big investigator, so I'll go through it and do it. And because she's the one who goes out and investigates and brings in all the new stuff.
Yeah.
And tools and everything like that. So she'll love this. And I will too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just think it's so great. I mean, yeah, thank you to James, because that's really...
We're going live to Genius, so you know, we'll be there in Phoenix.
You are going to go, right?
Yeah, we are. And we're going to Canyon Ranch, so we're going to include that. And then we talked to Joe this week, and so Joe, we're going out to, you know, we'll have some time out in 4 or 5 days that we're there. With Joe personally. So,
yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I James had been in coach, I think, for a year or two way back.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And then I reconnected with him because he was in 100K.
Right.
Yeah. I guess that's where you did too.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Always exciting, Dan. Thank you. Have a great week.